Excellent. Eat it. Does anyone need packets? Here. Noam? Guys, take. Anyone who will give out here? Okay? Okay. Okay. All right, let's begin, guys. Sorry if they have to share early. Have to go to Leviathan. Okay, let's begin. Firstly, I wanted to mention, Eitan, you found the Dibros Moshe. Seth, Eitan and Seth found the Dibros Moshe. And want to just note that, okay? Rav Moshe writes here in his Sefer, Dibros Moshe, it's a Hara Yud Aleph in Baba Basra, in the Sefer in Baba Basra. In the story that we had done last week, on Thursday, where it's hard to keep track of all these stories, but you have to try. But the story we had last week was, if you recall, the fellow was squatting on it, and the Marakama says, "What are you doing there?" He says, "What do you mean, what I did? I bought it from Mr. X." "Well, Mr. X is a Goslin." "Mr. X is a Goslin," Marakama says. "Mr. X is a Goslin? You gave me an Eitzah. You're telling me he's a Goslin? You gave me an Eitzah to buy it from him. So obviously you held he wasn't a Goslin, that you bought it rightfully." "Thank you, David. Actually, you bought it from me rightfully." "Thanks a lot. You bought it from me rightfully. So if you bought it from me rightfully, what's the, how can you call him a Goslin? Right, Nochli?" So he answers back, "What are you talking about? I'm scared out of my wits. He's a mafioso guy. I want it out of his hands. I want it in your hands. But he really is a Goslin." So Seth and Nathan and asked, "Isn't this Leif Nehivir? I mean, he gave him an Eitzah Shein Hoganis." So we wanted to see what the Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe doesn't answer the kasha. He just points out the following that I want you just to get, and this brings us to the following two important topics that we have to know since we're learning Seder Nezikin now. And that is that there's two types of categories of indirect damages. One is called garmi, and one is called grama. Maybe you fellas have heard of it if you learned Baba Kama before, okay? There's something called grama. Now, grama is in Baba Basra as well, in the second paragraph. Grama is when you indirectly damage a guy, you are putter, okay? Putter, milishalem, but Achein, it's usher to do the act. The Gemara has that a chafal from an alf, if I'm not mistaken. It's usher to do something that's going to guard him something. Going to guard him indirect damage. I think the Gemara has a lashon, and that's a lot of perik lo yachbor, the second perik. Gemara has a lashon that it's usher. Yeah. If you take a look at chaf beizim and beiz, the bottom line, it says, Amar of Tuvia bar masna zosamiris, grama ben ezikin usher. Grama ben ezikin is usher. Bless you, Mark. Garama ben Ezekiel is usher. What's the isser? It's usher to do such a thing, but you don't have to pay. That's a big question in Achronim, what the isser is. We mentioned a few days ago, the Yad Ramah had two possibilities there, Chafal. What are the two possibilities? Either v'haftal recha kamocha, or what? Lifteivir, lo sitein, michshel. Okay? There's a lot of different, it's the first year you give him Baba Kama. What is the isser of Ezekiel? Like a 6-7 different possibilities. Gemara doesn't say why it's usher. What the issue is, but it's awesome. But you're a punter from paying. There's something called garmi. What does garmi mean? An indirect damage that you must pay. Obviously, the question is, what on earth is the difference between what? Grum and garmi. So the Ramban wrote a whole kuntras called Dini de Garmi. He wrote a whole kuntras on Dini de Garmi. It's long, but it's not so long. Okay? If we should actually... One day we should go through the whole thing. But okay, it's not really connected with Cheskes Abatim, but one day we should try, okay? So there's something called Grama, is Patim L'Shalom Aser, Garmi is Chayim L'Shalom. What on earth is the difference between Grama and Garmi? So there basically are two different approaches to the difference between Grama and Garmi. Number one difference between Grama and Garmi is basic approach that Tosos develops is that grama is not miyad. Grama
Lo miyad.
Okay, meaning you do an action and the damage doesn't happen immediately. Groma lo miyad hanezek. The nezek that you incur to some doesn't happen immediately after action. That's when you'll be putter to pay. Whereas garmi, according to Tosfos, is that the damage happens miyad hanezek acharei hamaisa, after the action you do. That's how you distinguish between groma and garmi. That's Tosfos' approach. The Ramban has a different approach. The Ramban writes that it depends if it's bari hezeka. Groma is low bari hezeka. You do a certain action, that it's not slam dunk, you would have caused the damage. Could have gone either way. Happened to turn out that you damaged someone, unfortunately. Since it's not slam dunk, you're a punter from paying. Groma is low bari hezeka. And therefore, you are a punter l'shalim. However, points out the Ramban, Grama is bari hezeka. It is absolutely slam dunk, 100% bari hezeka, that you are chayiv l'shalim. Okay? Where it's 100%. So that's the basic two differences. So Rav Moshe discusses, well, maybe this marakama, by giving the bad advice, is an issue of garmi. Maybe he's going to have to pay him. You follow me, Seth? So maybe that would offset the lifnei iver. He's going to have to shell out cash for giving the advice, the bad advice. So if he's going to have to shell out cash, maybe that makes it more palatable, you know? At least he gets nailed with having to pay something. So Rav Moshe says it's not true. It's not garmi. It's really groma. And you don't have to. He doesn't have to pay a penny. And then he points out, even if he had to pay, even if you held it was garmi, you still are over leaf neighbor because you wasted the guy's time. He's embarrassed. He has to go to Beis Din. So even if you do shell out cash, there's still an emotional stress that he had to have. That you gave him this whole business. Noachli Rishon. You gave him this whole etzer to go ahead and buy it from the guy. You gave him this whole etzer to buy it from the guy. He had to go to Beis Din and everything. You wasted the guy's time. So I want you to get Rav Moshe's 2 points. Number one is, it's possible that it's garmi. But even if you pay, still what, you've wasted his time, and you're still overleaf neighbor. Like the small, says you're overleaf neighbor, that's it. And he says, even if it's grandma, and he thinks it's grandma, you don't even have to pay. So that whole answer goes out the window. See, he leaves it as a sarachim. So Seth and Eitan, we found the Rav Moshe, thank you. And that's what Rav Moshe writes in that first story. So I want you to get it down. It's in the Ha'ara, as we said, in Dibros Moshe, Ha'ara, Yud Aleph. That this is, that you are over leaf neighbor, and you cannot tell me by shelling out cash will get you out of leaf neighbor, because you don't have to shell out cash, because it's called groma and not garmi. And this is the basic machloek you guys got to get between Tosfos and the Ramban, between the difference in groma and garmi. They are indirect actions that incur damages. Garmi you're chaya for, groma you're punter for, and you have to ask yourselves, what is the difference in definition between the two? Okay? Alright, very good. That's the first point. Number one. Number two. Okay. Now we go on to the second point. And the second point is as follows. Okay? Let's get it. Second point is that we had a big machloikis yesterday in the Tosfos. Okay? What was the big machloikis we had yesterday in the Tosfos? What was the big kasha we had yesterday in the Tosfos? What did the Gemara say? Let's chazer over. Who wins? Who wins in the second story? The very bottom story. Who wins? Depends. If he says he was there 7 years, he wins. If he says there was 6 years, he loses. Correct? What did Tosfos ask on the top of Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph? What did Tosfos ask? Tosfos says what? Yes, all you need is Adam that he was there for 3 years. Because what is his first statement? He was there for 7 years. He should be believing the migu that he was what? He should believe in the migu that what? That he bought it directly from the guy. Remember, let's plug in the story. What's the story? Everyone's arguing. The Marakama is out of the picture here. The Muchsuk and the Mara are arguing who bought it from the Marakama. Yes? That's the story, right? Aaron? So Tosfos is asking, he was only there 3 years. He's got a migu, you said you could have bought it from him. What was Tosfos' answer? Tosfos' answer was he was afraid. What was he afraid of? The Rosh added in the word Yareh. What is he afraid of? He's afraid if he says Kanisi Mimcha, the Marakam is going to come forward and say, I never bought it, I never sold it to the Ma'arer, and he'll take a land away from the Muchzik and he'll win. So he's scared. So we said that the Rivam, when he asks this Kasha, is holding what? Is holding one of three things. He holds Migu Mafrei Amrinin, he holds Migu Da'aza Amrinin, and he holds what? What else does he hold? He holds Migu de Pachad, you would say too, in order to ask all those Kashas. Now yesterday, we said that the Rashbam, and what did we say yesterday? That the Yesh Beforshim, what did the Yesh Beforshim say? The Yesh Beforshim said what? Machlokes Yesh Beforshim Rashbam. How many ate him? He only had eight in the first 3 years. The Yesh Beforshim holds like who? Yesh Beforshim holds like the Osos, the Rivam. Because what did the Yesh Beforshim say? What was the difficulty the Rashbam had on the Yesh Beforshim? That if you only have eight in the first and last 3 years, what's going to happen? You have the Meyer has a star that says four. The Muksa has a star that says three. Who wins? The one who says four. So how do we answer that Kash of the Rashbam and the Yesh Beforshim? That he has a Migu. The Yesh Beforshim holds, like the Rivam, that he has a Migu. Yesh Beforshim holds like the Rashbam. Come on, Rashbam. Sheyesh lo. He has a Migu. Yesh Beforshim holds like the Rivam, that he has a Migu. And the Migu was one of those three things. Now, yesterday we said the Rashbam argued on the Yesh Beforshim and held Migu L'mafrei L'mrinin. I made a mistake. Yossi said, where do we have the Rashbam? Well, we never had it. We only had Tosa saying that. I made a mistake about that. Yossi was correct. Yesh Beforshim, Kamo, what, Harivam. So I want you to get it down. One, you'll say it's L'mafrei L'mrinin. Right, we had this yesterday. Two is, you say what, Ha'aza? Amrinin, who was the one who said that answer? I wanted you to see it today. The Torah's what? Torah's Chaim. Torah's Chaim says, I don't understand. Taisa says, it's a migu to Azza to say, Kanisi Mimcha in one's face. And let's get that, as Ellie pointed out. Did you guys see the Torah's Chaim? I gave it to you, right? What does the Torah's Chaim say? What type of migu to Azza is acceptable? If both claims are chutzpahdik, then the migu to Azza is fine. That's what he quotes at the end of the piece. Ellie was asking me. There are certain migu dazes, wrong, that are acceptable. If Taina A and Taina B are both equal chutzpahdik, they're good. When we say migu dazes lo amrinin, it means A was not chutzpahdik, but B was chutzpahdik. So if B was chutzpahdik, he never would have said it. You follow me? So therefore, migu dazes amrinin, this is what the Rivam is holding, or pachad, we would say, the migu of pachad, we say amrinin as well. Okay? So these are... This is what we had shot in the Tosfos, and the Rivam holds, the Yesh Beforshim holds the Rivam, that's how we answer the Kasha Rashbam. Okay, now let's pick it up from here. Please get that down. We mentioned yesterday the Rashbam is cholik on the Yesh Beforshim. He would argue on one of these three premises. We said probably argue on this. Not true, we don't know that. He could argue on one of the three, okay? He could argue on one of the three. We don't know, though, whether Rashbam held Migul Amafirmi and Tosfos held it. We had that Tosfos on Laman Amanal that quoted all those Gemaras. Okay. This brings us to the following. Let me ask you. The Kasha of the Tosfos. The Kasha of Tosfos is according to who? The Kasha of Tosfos of the Rivam. Is that according to the Rashbam's Pshat? Or according to who? According to the Yesh Beforshim's Pshat. On the bottom of the Yomid. What do you say? What did the Marashah say? Let's get it down. The Marashah says, black on white on the Tosfos, I want you to see. Marashah says that Tosfos Kasha is Tosfos Kushya is Lafi the Rashbam. Lafi HaRashbam. Why is that? Because what did the Rashbam but what did the Rashbam say? Let's go one at a time. What did the Rashbam say? That you have Aiden on every what? You have Aiden on what? Every year. You have Adim and every year. So Tosfos asks, why do you need Adim and every... Tosfos says, what was the guy's two tainus? Aaron, what was his two tainus? There were Adim and every year, according to Rashbam, yes? And what was his tainus? That he was there for 7 years. He has a migu that he could have said what? He has a migu that he could have said he bought it from him directly. That is the kasha of the Rivam, Lafi the Rashbam. Tosfos Kushya is Lafi, the Pshat of the Rashbam. That's what the Marashah writes, black on white. He writes black on white that there were what? The Rashbam says that there were Edim every year. So since there were Edim every year, he asked this kash. He says, okay? So the kash of Tosfos is very strong. Kash of Tosfos is very strong in Rashbam. Why on earth do you need 7 years? Why do you need Edom on all 7 years? Seth, you follow me? Why should you need Edom on all 7 years? Should suffice to have Edom on all 3 years? And his tiny would be, this is what I want you, you gotta say the whole thing. You shouldn't need Edom on all 7 years. Should be enough to have Edom on the 3 years. Your time is, I was there all 7 years with a migu that I bought it from you. Has everyone got that? Again, Nachamal. The pshat in the Gemara was there were Edom on all 7 years. But Rivam is asking, why do you need Edom in all 7 years? It should suffice to have Edom on the 3 years, and what are his two tainas? His first taina is, I was there 7 years. Believe me with the migu that I bought it from you. But there were only Edom on what? Noah, he's asking? Only on three. Does everyone have that chlor? That's what the Marsha says. Tosfos was asking his kasha the Rivam, lafi the Rashbam's pshat. Okay, that's what he's setting up. Tosfos kusha is lafi the Rashbam. Okay, that's what he asks. Now, the Marsha clearly holds this pshat. However, let's get this. The Shach argues. The Shach is cholek. And that's what I wanted you to see in the bottom, the Nemuki Agriv. The Shach argues on the Marsha. And the Shach writes in Simen Kuf Mem Vov, Sifkot and what? Yud Tes. Isn't it your test? The Shach writes the following, okay? The Shach learns that the Kasha of Tosfos of the Rivam, because he puts it under the Dibra Maskel, the Shach Lomei, Shehakushia, Afilu, Lefi, Hayesh, Meforshim. Now, how could that be? How could the kasha be even according to the Yesh Meforshim? Because the Shach says like this. Please get it. The kasha is Sheish Shonim. Even when he says Sheish Shonim, he has a migu. He has a migu. And what's his migu? He could have said Kanisimimcha. And the Dibra Maskel of Tosfos is on Sheish Shonim, isn't it? So therefore, the Kasha of Tosfos, according to the Shach, even according to the Yesh Meforshim, who says there were only what? Edom on what? The 3 years? There were only Edom on the 3 years, according to Yesh Meforshim, right? The last 3 years? But Tosfos is asking a different Kasha. Tosfos Kasha is, even when you say Sheish, you should be believed with a migu that you bought it from the guy. Does everyone got that clear? It's a machloikish, the Shach and the Marsha, what the Rivam's Kasha is going according to. Is it going only according to the Pshat of the Rashbam, or is the Kasha going even according to the Yesh Meforshim? And even according to the Yesh Meforshim, the Kasha is completely swished. According to the Yesh Meforshim, there were eight of them in the last 3 years, right, Ellie? But the Kasha is, even when he says Sheish, let him be believed, the Muchzik with a Migu, he could have said he bought it directly from the guy. You got that, Chlor? That's the Kasha. Now that's the Kasha. Now, This is a fundamental machloikis between the Shach and the Marsha. Because what are they arguing about? Why do you think that the Marsha, that's what I wanted you to see in the bottom, the Muki Agriv. Why do you think the Marsha does not like the Shach's way of saying that? You tell me. I want you to get this down. I'm going to write it down. Again, Marsha. What's the svara why the Marsha would not like the Shach's approach? What would you say? I'll tell you why. Because that is ridiculous kasha, the Marsha says. The guy says Sheish Shonim, he has a migu to say he bought it from him. Then what should he say to him? He should say to him, show me what? Show me your star. Ach v'shtarcha. So Marsha says, when you have a migu, neged, ach v'shtarcha, migu, lo mo'il. The migu goes up in smoke. The migu does not work at all. Migu does not work. Because again, what is the kasha? The kasha was Sheish Shonim, believe me with the migu that I bought it from you. If you're only there Sheish Shonim, That means the Sheishan, the other, the Ma'ar has a star of 4 years. 6 minus 4 is 2. You should have held on to your star. Where's your star? So the Migu goes out the window. So the Ma'ar says that cannot have been Taisis Kasha. Because it's obvious that a Migu does not win against Achvish Starcha. Because he only would have it 2 years. So you can't get the Kasha out of your mouth. Oh, let the guy who says Sheishanim, the Muchsik, be believed with the Migu. What kind of, how would he win? Achvish Starcha, where's your star? You only had it 2 years. What's the Shach say back to that? The Shach says back to that, I'm sorry, that the Migu is Mo'il, wins, works, neged Achve Shtarcha. The Migu works neged Achve Shtarcha. And therefore, the Kasha is very good. Even when he says Sheish, you should live the Migu. I, Achve Shtarcha, Migu takes care of Achve Shtarcha. Hey, Alan, you follow this? The Migu beats it out. Now, why is this? Why is this? What's the Machlokes based on? Do you remember in the beginning of the year, we had a very important Machlokes as to what the nature of Cheskas Shel Lashonim was? Shmuel, what was the Rabban Shita? Do you recall? What was the Rabban Shita? The Rabban is with the Shach. What does Rabban Shita? That really, immediately, you get the Chazakah. Yes? The Ramban and Daf Mem Beis says immediately you get the Chazakah. That guy didn't protest. From the very first hour you're squatting. If he didn't protest, it's yours. But there's a Reyesa called what? Achve Shtarcha. Meaning according to the Ramban, Miyad, it's a Chazakah. Because the guy was quiet, he didn't protest. But there's a Chisar Nachain, Yesh Reyesa, of what? Achve Shtarcha. But you know what would take care of that Reyes Achve Shtarcha? Guess. What would take care of it? A Migu. A Migu, though, is Mitkaber, Migu Mo'il, Neged Achve Shtarcha. And therefore, we want to say that the Ramban, the Shach, is working with the Ramban's theory. And therefore, that's Taisus Kasha. Taisus Kasha was the guy who says Sheish, could be even according to the Yesh Beforshim, that there was only 8 in the last 3 years, but let him believe when he says Sheish, because he has a Migu to say, I bought it from you. And if you look in the Ramban that I gave you, the Ramban in Dibur HaMaskil, Al Dibur HaMaskil Zvina Le Mine, what did the Ramban say? Did anyone get a chance to see the Ramban? How did the Ramban learn the Gemara? That when he says Sheish, were there 8 in every year? Yes. The Ramban learns in our Gemara that there were 8 Al Kol Sheish Shonim. There were 8 on all 6 years when he says Achla Sheish. Why does the Ramban say there were 8 on all 6 years? Because if there were not 8 in all 6 years, what should he win? The Muchsuk should win because he has a what? A Migu. Exactly. Excellent. The Ramban writes the Pshat in the Gemara is that there are 8 on every year. If there are 8 in every year, so if there are 8 in every year, then therefore the Migu wouldn't work. The Migu doesn't work. That's why he loses if he says Sheish. But if there were no 8, he would win because he's got a Migu. How does the Migu work? Because the Ramban is l'shitasa with his Havana in Cheskas Shel Lashonim. Then really Miyad, it's yours. It's just the Reyes of Achve Shtarcha. But if you have a Migu, the Migu beats out the Reyes of Achve Shtarcha. This is Shtikel Torah. You follow me? It all emerges from what is Taisus Kasha based on. Who's Pshat? Eldi, you follow me? You follow how it's the Ramban l'shitasa, the Ramban here, to the Ramban Daf Mem Beis, and the Shach is working with the Ramban. However, let's finish it up, this shtickle. Who does the Marsha like? Who hold like? Who argues with the Havan of Cheskas Shel Lashonim? Who said it was a Takanas Chachamim? The Rosh, remember? The Rosh, the Ksos also said the Ramam held like that. But the Rosh said the Feirish, that it's a Takanas Chachamim. What does a Takanas Chachamim mean? Shel Lashonim. What does that mean? That until you have 3 years, it's bogus. I don't care, you could have 5,000 Migus. You can have 10,000 Migus. Until you have 3 years squatting, you're not the owner. It's a nothing. It's a nothing. So the Marsha says, you know what? Migu does not work neged Achve Shtarcha. Because according to, until you have it for 3 years, it's not yours immediately like the Ramban. The Ramban held was a Svar D'Oraisa, remember? We said? The Rosh says, no, it's a Takanas Chachamim. Until you have it for 3 years, it's nothing. It's not yours. So the Marsha is working with the Rosh's approach, and the Shach is working with the Ramban's approach. And the Rambam learned the Pshat and Gemara said there were Adam in every one of the 6 years. Because if there weren't Adam, you would have had a Nigum. So this is a very, very fundamental Pshat that we're suggesting here. In this Machlaikis, between what? Between how to learn up Taisus Kasha. Was Taisus Kasha Lafi the Rashbam? That's the Marshah. Or was Taisus Kasha Lafi what? Lafi the Yivish Meforshim, which is like the Shach, who is Cholik, on the what? On the Marshah. Okay? And the Nemuki Agriv, I grant you, it's very hard to read it inside. A lot of guys had difficulty. I also had difficulty. But that's what he's driving at. He's driving at that the Shach holds like the Ramban, that in fact Migu would beat out the concept of Achashtarcha. And you can ask the Kasha that why does the Muxik lose when he says Sheish? He has a Migu. And why would Migu beat Achashtarcha? Because he learns like the Ramban that it's Miyad. And the Ramban learns when the guy says Sheish, you know why he loses? Because they're Aiden. So when they're Aiden, Lamaisi has no Migu.
He's not a Migu.
Oh, you tell me. Why does he not have a Migu when they're Aiden? Because how can you say Kanisi Mimcha? You were there sitting there for 6 years. You were sitting there for 6 years. So how can chronologically I say I bought it from the Maher? Maher has a start, it says four. Right? It makes no sense. I'm the owner before him. So how can I have a Migu? I bought it from you. I'm glad you asked me that. You can't have a Migu on that. If there are eight in there. It wouldn't make any sense. Okay? So this is the Mahalik we want to get regarding this. Okay, yes, Daniel. Real quick, go ahead.
But the Nimuk in Hebrew says that the Maharsha's Kavana is that he's also asking on the...
No. We'll look at it tomorrow, okay? No, he's not. He points out the Shach argues. Points out that the Shach argues on the Maharsha, okay? We'll look at it tomorrow inside. He's not. He's pointing out that the Shach argues on the Maharsha. V'sigolov, okay? You see that point? V'sigolov. Okay. Argue. He's massive. Like, Sagas arriving. Sagas arriving. He's arguing on him, okay? I thought like that originally, Daniel. But you look at it close, you see not that way. Okay. Weiter now. Let's get this. Okay? Rabbi Kiveger in the Chidushin points out the following. Actually, before we get to Rabbi Kiveger, let's point out the Shach again in that same Sif Katan. Nachamo. What was Tosis' answer to his Kasha? Mike, go ahead, Michael. What was Tosis' answer to his Kasha? That he wouldn't, it's not a good Migu to say because he's afraid. Yes? He's afraid that what? That if he says he bought it from the Maharer, it might not be true. The Marakam is going to come forward and take the land away from him. He says, I never sold it to the Maharer, right? And therefore, I'm going to take the land right away from you. Yes? Yeah, he was afraid. What do we ask? Yes, what do we say from the Torah's Chaim? I want you to see inside. What do we say, Alan? There's a coal, right? Doesn't a star produce a coal? The star produces a coal. That's a bomb kasha, we said, and therefore he gives his own answer, migu to aza. Tosas meant to answer those kasha, he comes up with the only pshat, migu to aza, one minute. How are you going to answer the kasha of the Torah's time? We didn't have an answer yesterday. What does the Shach say? I wanted you to see in Shulchan Aruch. What does the Shach say? Shach says like this. There's a coal that goes out. Shach says that there's a coal that goes out. Kol yotze bishtar. But it does not say who bought it. The coal is Yotze Bishtar. Aval lo ne'achein, lo ne'mar. What's lo ne'mar? Achein lo ne'mar what? Philip? Achein lo ne'mar what? No, there's a coal that goes out that there was a purchase. Achein lo ne'mar. Me? What is the lashon of the Shach? Why don't you see it inside? Achein lo ne'mar. What was the lashon of the Shach? Mikomo kamnidis le kol shemachra mikom ein kol shemachra lezeh. There is no kol. Lo nomar lemi shemachra lezeh. We don't know who bought it. So he's still scared out of his wits. He doesn't know who bought it. So if he says that the Ma'arer bought it, the Marakama is going to come forward saying, I never sold it to the Ma'arer. And then I'll go ahead and subsequently take his land away. So please get that point of the Shach. There are two points that we're saying from that very own Shach. A lot of guys ask me, where does the Shach say what we said? Because if you look in the Dibra Maskel and Shulchan Aruch, it was going on, Im Achla Pachos Meshev Hashanim. So he obviously learned, like the Dibra Maskel teaches, he obviously learned that the Kasha was, when the guy says Sheish, he should be believing the Migu. You got the two points from the Shach we're saying today? How do you know the Shach holds a kosher was eating according to Yesh before Shem? Because he put it under the Dibra Maskel Shulchan Aruch of eating Sheishonim. So he's asking the guy who ate Sheishonim, Shevamigu, to say Kanisim Imcha. The second point is the Shach is being Choylik on the Torah's Chaim, and is saying, Shkoich, there's a kol. But there's no kol to identify who actually bought it. And therefore, since there's no kol, he's going to be scared out of his wits, the Muchsuk, to say, oh, I bought it from the Ma'ar. Marukhan is going to say, I never sold it to the Ma'ar, and then I'll take away the land. So that's a beautiful terrace that the Shach gives. Okay. Now, we move to Rabbi Kivager. Kivager, let's get it. Rabbi Kivager holds as follows. Rabbi Kivager learns like the Marsha. Rabbi Kivager learns like the Marsha. What's the Marsha say? But the Kasha Taisus of Rivam is only the feet what? The Rashbam. Rashbam will learn to aid him in all 7 years. Why didn't he aid him all 7 years? Let there be only on 3 years. He has a migu. He could have said what? He sat there 7 years with a migu. He says, I bought it directly from you. He says, Rabbi Kivager. Kivager learns that he has no migu. Okay? Why does he answer Amo Migu? Why does he answer Amo Migu? He learns like the Marsha. But why is there no migu? Why is there no migu when the guy says Kanisimcha? You know why there's no migu? Because why? Because he said what? He said seven. Ein lo migu biglal shehu amar that he's there 7 years. Shehu amar shehu sham 7 years. You understand what I'm saying? There's he's learning. Rabbi Kivager is learning the Marsha. It's a beautiful. You have a good migu. What's the answer? The answer is, let me ask you. There's no migu to say I bought it from you. Because he never would have what? He never would have said that he was there 7 years. By saying that you were there 7 years, what does that show you by definition? What does that show you by definition that you were there 7 years? By definition, what does that show you? That you have no information of who? Of the Ma'arer. You don't know the Ma'arer from Adam. How can you tell me he has a migu that he could have said, I bought it directly from the Ma'arer? He doesn't even know the Ma'arer. He doesn't know of the Ma'arer. We're talking about a case when he first said he doesn't know anything about the Ma'arer in the beginning of the story. He says, what are you doing in my land? What do you mean, what are you doing? I don't know who you are. I bought it from Mr. X. You're like their own man. But one sec. There's no migu because why? There's no migu because he himself said that there's Sheva Shonim. No, it's different than the Ramban. Much different. Much different than the Ramban. Let's just focus. The Ramban is learning like the Shach, that the Kasha is Sheish with the migu. The Rabbi Kivager is learning like the Marsha, that he said what? He has Edom in every year, right? Like he's learning like the Marsha, that Kasha is like the Rashbam. There's Edom in every year. What do you need Edom in every year? You only need Edom in the third year. And what was your Taina? You were there 7 years with the migu of what? You were there 7 years with the migu of what? I bought it from you. Right? So Rabbi Kivager is giving a very interesting answer. He's saying there's no migu. Why is there no migu? You can't say, I bought it from... By you saying I was there 7 years is by definition saying I don't know of the Ma'arer. So how can you tell me I had a migu that I could have said I bought it from him? What's the classical migu? Paru with the migu that I could have said what? That I could have said it was Mizuyu. Yes? Those are both palatable claims. They're believable. You have that information. You know you could say that. If you say your first statement is that I want 7 years, that I'm sitting there 7 years, by definition, you don't know of anyone. You don't know of a Ma'arer. How could you say, oh, you had a Yecholus, you have the ability to say I bought it from you? By definition, they're antithetical to one another. At least he wants the answer. So the Rabbi Kivager saying, "Ein lo migu b'glav shu yodeish b'glav shu hu amar shu sham sheva shanim." By definition, that is precluding you saying that you know about the guy. That's how Rabbi Kivager wants to answer the kasha. Okay. So Rabbi Kivager, let's get down. Learns like the Marsha that he has. He learns like the kasha was l'fi l'Rashbam, but the reason why he has no migu. The reason why he answers that there is no migu is because by definition, the pshat is that what? Is that he has what? That's the kasha. By definition, he's learning that he has no migu biglal shehu amar shu sheva shanim. That's what he wants to say. Because it shows that you didn't know. You can't say a migu on something you don't know. So then Rabbi Kivager takes this a step further. Kivager says the following. Please get it. Next point. Rabbi Kivager says the following. When a guy says sheish, why don't you say he has a migu that he could have said seven? That's a different kasha. You follow me? Again, the guy says sheish with the migu to say you have sheva. You could have said then there are 7 years. Why is that not good? That's a great kasha. So you know what I would answer to that? What would you answer to that? I would say that migu doesn't win against what? Achve. Right? Migu doesn't win. I would say achve shtarcha. That's the way I would answer Rabbi Kivager's kasha. Once you get that down, that wouldn't be a good migu if a guy says sheish. He was there 6 years. There's a migu that I could have said seven. And I want you to note that Tosus is obviously learning against the Ramban. You follow what I'm saying? Please get this down. Tosus is learning there were no Adim on all 7 years. Remember the Ramban said there were Adim on all 6 years? Tosus obviously was learning not that way. There weren't Adim on all 6 years. Right? There weren't Adim. Tosus is learning that there weren't any. We said that the Shach and the Ramban hold the same Mahalach. That's true. The Ramban said that there were what? That there were Adim. Therefore, the guy doesn't have a Migu. The Shach, who's learning Pshat and Taisvis, the Shach who learned Pshat and Taisvis, they agree in Lumbus, but the Kasha, according to Yesh Beforshim, there were no Adim. That's why he's able to say, you should have a Migu. By definition, if there's Adim, you don't have a Migu. You see, he found they agree in Lumbus, the Shach and the Ramban. They're just arguing on the Nakuda of what's the Pshat. Were there Adim or were there not Adim? Ramban says there were Adim. Maybe the Migu doesn't start. But if there were no Adim, like Tosus is learning, the Shach says you have a Kasha of Migu. So they agree in Lumbus, they just have a difference in this Pshat and the Gemara. So Rabbi Kivager asks, you should have a Migu of Sheish with a Migu of Sheva. You make a claim of Sheish, a Migu of Sheva. My answer is, let's get down, Migu doesn't work. Ach, Mishtarcha, where's your star? And that's exactly what the Marshal we said. That's exactly what Rabbi Kivager is masking with the Marshal. So I would say that Kasha doesn't start. Because the Migu doesn't beat out Ach Mishtarcha. Rabbi Kivager gives a different terrace. You know what he says? He says the Marakam is there. He says the Marakam is there. You say you were there for 6 years? What does that mean? The year beforehand, who was there? The Marakam was there, by definition. It's Yadua, Rabbi Kivager says. It's Yadua that the Marakam is there. Whatever year you say Sheish, that means the year before that, the seventh year, the Marakam was there. If you say seven, that means the eighth year, who was there? The Marakama. So it's Yadua, Marakama, Shama. Marakama was Shama. It's Yadua that the Marakama is there. So that's why you don't have a Migu to say Sheish, that you have a Migu Shev. It's like a Migu Negadim. It's like a Migu Negadim. Migu Negadim is not good, okay? So you don't have it's like a Migu against Anan and Sahadi. It's impossible to say that. But I'm just saying the Kasher of Kivega wouldn't start. The Kasher of Kivega wouldn't start. That's what we want to say to Kiddush. What'd you say?
Is it not for Sharp only within the first 3 years?
No. What is six? Six means six minus four, he only has two. So where's your star? You don't have a star, you should lose. So I'm saying, what kind of cash is that? You can answer. So obviously, the Kivager's giving Northern Terrence. Okay, it's a good, great cash. I'm just saying, it's a strictly Terrence, what we're saying, we can answer. Okay. Oh, let's take it a step further, says Rabbi Kivager. Step further, Rabbi Kivager says. In the Rashbam and the Yesh Beforshim, what was the Yesh Beforshim shtickle? What was the Yesh Beforshim shtickle? That there were Adim only in the last 3 years, yes? Why did the Rashbam say that was wrong? Let's go with Nachamal. What did the Yesh Beforshim say? Last 3 years were Adim, that's it. Not every year, right? What is Rava coming to tell me? Ovid Inish? What's Rava coming to tell me? Ovid Inish, that what? What was the Yesh Beforshim? Yeah, that when he said three, when he said years, he meant a lot of years. He meant seven. Because if there were Adim on every year, you wouldn't need what? Rava. That was the Yesh Beforshim, yes? You wouldn't need Rava's Kiddush that years means a lot of years. So therefore, according to the Yesh Beforshim, it was all Adim on the last three. What did Rashbam say to that? Rashbam said, what are you talking about? There's not Adim in every year. You have four and three. The one of four should win. How could the Muksuk win? So what does he go ahead and say? There were Adim in every year. What is Rava coming to tell me? Please get this. What is Rava coming to tell me? Rava's coming to tell me that there's no problem with Chosu V'Toyim. Because if it wasn't for Rava, you could have 1,000 Eidim that say you were there 1,000,000 years. Right? But if you're Makish the Eidim, then Hodas Baldin, we wrote on the board, Gemara Krisis Daf Yebeis, is Yosher Mimei Eidim. Michael, read the Tulsus, we didn't do it. Lamed Amud Beis, we missed it yesterday. Go ahead, read the bottom Tulsus, Lamed Amud Beis. Ovid Inish, go ahead. But if you don't say Rav is Kiddush, that Shani meant a lot. Go ahead. Oh, what does he say? Even though what? Even though we wouldn't say Rava, even though he has Aiden that he ate there 7 years, we don't believe him. Why don't we believe him? Because what did he say? He contradicted the Aiden. He said he was only there how many years? 3 years. So you could have Aiden that you were there 1,000,000 years. So what? You beat out the Aiden. So that's exactly what the Yesh Rashbam said. Rashbam says you were there, you had Aiden in every year, and the Chiddush of Rava is not Chosu V'Toyim. Otherwise, your statement would beat out the Aiden and you'd be off Tzuris. So it must be that when you said years, you meant 7 years, in accordance, in consonance with the Aiden. That was the Chiddush. Tosus just says exactly what the Rashbam said. Okay. Kveger adds on like this. What do you do with the Yesh Beforshim? How's the Yesh Beforshim going to answer this? How's the Yesh Beforshim going to answer this? So he wants to say as follows. Please get it. Kveger writes, remember yesterday we had a machlokes in Rabbi Yona, and who else? Rashba, and who else? Muki Yosef, right? And the Muki Yosef also holds. We had the Rashba, who else? Ron, we said? Yes. What happens if he says the number 3? Can you switch and say I meant really 7? Rabbi Yona says yes. Who says no? Ritva, Rashba, and also the Muki Yosef say no. Okay? They all say no. Rabbi Yona, you asked me this morning, right? Says if you say 3, you can change it later. I didn't mean 3. Well, that's why I said 3, because that's a generic number. Okay. So get this, Rabbi Kveger. Rabbi Kveger says the Yesh Beforshim holds like the Rabbi Yona. The Yesh Beforshim holds like the Rabbi Yona. So if the Yesh Beforshim holds like the Rabbi Yona, so what happens? You must say the number 1. You must say the number 3. If you would have said the number 3, you could have what? You could have changed it to mean, I didn't mean 3, I meant 7. So why didn't the Gemara say that? Why didn't the Gemara say 3? You follow me? According to Rabbi Yona, if you could change 3 to 7, why did the Gemara say you didn't say a number? The Gemara should have said it. So says Rabbi Kveger, you know why the Yesh Beforshim says? Yesh Beforshim says like this. Yesh Beforshim says, a Chiddush, that if he would have said that, he should be believed with a what? He should be believed with a Migu.
Rabbi Yona says no. You can't.
I flipped it. Okay, who says... The Ritva and the Rashba that say you say number 3. You're believed, okay? That you could switch it. Ritva and the Rashba, it's also Muki Yosef. Okay, I'm sorry. Flipped it. Correct. So I ask you, according to those sheetas, why didn't the Gemara Taka say 3? Why didn't it say 3? Should have said 3. So the answer must be, the reason why it didn't say the number 3, and this is what the Yesh Beforshim is saying. You don't have Edom on all, right? You don't have Edom on all the years. You don't have Edom all the years. You only have Edom on the last 3 years. Otherwise, what else would Rav be telling you? Okay? The Rashbam said on that, if you don't have Edom in every year, it's 4 and 3. The 4 guy beats out the 3 guy. So how do we answer that yesterday? The Yesh Beforshim has a what? The Yesh Beforshim says he's a Miku. Remember we said yesterday? He holds like the cash of the Rivam we said in the beginning of Shir. The Yesh Beforshim holds like Kashrim, he has a migu. The man who says 3 has a migu. So the pshat is, that's exactly why Rava is what needed. Because the pshat is, according to the Yesh Beforshim, what does the Yesh Beforshim do with what Rava's Chiddush? What is Rava's Chiddush telling me? Why didn't Rava say the number 3 if you could switch it? Why didn't he say the number 3? So we're saying the Yesh Beforshim holds that there's a migu. Yesh Beforshim holds you have a migu. That's what we said. One of these 3 things. He has a migu. The number has 3. So why didn't the Gemara say the number 3? Why didn't the Gemara say the number 3? That's what Rav is coming to say. The Chiddush is This is what Rav is coming to say, Ovid Inish. What is Ovid Inish coming to tell me, Rabbi Akiva Eiger? He ends up the piece by saying, Karav Lemis. It's Karav Lemis, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It's Karav Lemis, this pshat. So what is he coming to? Why didn't they say the number three? Should have said the number three. So it must be that there's a reason why you can't say that. What's the reason why you can't say that? What was the reason why you can't say that? Remember we said, Hodas Baldin Kime Adim Domi? Beats out what? It beats out Adim. Hodas Baldin is even stronger than Adim. So Rav is coming to say, Choser V'toyim. Rav is coming to say, Choser V'toyim. So that's what Rabbi Kiveger is saying here, that we have to ask ourselves, according to the Yesh Beforshim, this is what I want you to get. He says, why is the number three not said in the Gemara? Why is the number three not said in the Gemara? If you could switch from three to seven, why did the Gemara say it generically? Okay? That's where Rabbi Kiveger poses this kasha. I want you to get that. That's the kasha that he poses, okay? He poses the kasha on. Why is it, if you hold number three, so he takes a premise that the Yesh Beforshim is of the opinion. He takes the premise that the Yesh Beforshim is of the opinion that he holds like that Shita, Ritva, Rabbeinu Yonah, we said, Ritva, and the Mikra Yosef, that says you can switch from three to another number. And he says, so why didn't the Gemara say it? That's the question. Why didn't the Gemara say that to Farish? Why didn't the Gemara say the number three? So we're going to leave this point of Rabbi Kiveger as a kasha. This is what he tries to build up the Yesh Beforshim. So I want you to leave it as a kasha. And then tomorrow we will give the terrors. Okay, before we go on, invite them to Gemara. Does everyone have this now? He's trying to build up the Mahalach for the Yesh Beforshim. He's building up the Mahalach for the Yesh Beforshim. What is the Yesh Beforshim going to do with Rava? What does he do with Rava? How do you answer Rava? Right? What was the Yesh Beforshim again? You only have Adam in the last 3 years, yes? Yeah, you only have Adam. What is Rava coming to say? What is Rava coming to tell me? That when you said years, it didn't mean what, three? It meant much more than that. Rashbam says, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, the Rashbam says. Of course there's Adam in every year. If you don't have Adam in every year, then the guy who has four beats out the guy who has three. The Moshe should lose. So we answer no, the Yesh Beforshim holds as a Migu. Okay, fine. Could be one of those three Migus that we said. That's fine. Rashbam says, there are Adam in every year. What's Rava coming to tell me? There's no problem with Choser V'toyim. Because otherwise there's a problem with Das Baldin Kim Adam Domi. You're against the Adam. You said only three, the Adam said seven. Who cares what the Adam say? So Rava comes and say, you know, you meant really what, seven? So you're in consonance with the Adam. Rabbi Kiveger begins this road to forever. The Yesh Beforshim. The Yesh Beforshim holds, like this Sheet and Rishonim, they could switch three to mean seven. So why didn't the Gemara say three? Why didn't it say it? Should have said it. Okay, so that's what we're going to leave it at that point. Okay? I want you to leave it at that point. What are you trying? He's trying to connect that machlokes we had with this point. Okay? And then the different points that we had of Rabbi Kiveger. Okay. Let's move on now. A few more points, then we got to go to halacha. Okay? A few more points now, then we got to go to halacha. And that is as follows. In the first story that we had today, not today, yesterday. The first story, remember we had two ways to learn it? Did you notice that the Ritva and the Papulik Rifta say there's no nafkamina between the two? What did that mean, there's no nafkamina between the two? According to the Rashbam, who won in the first story yesterday? Who won yesterday? The Ma'arer, excellent. And who won according to the Rosh, Daniel? The Machzik. What do you mean there's no nafkamina? The Ritva and the Papulik Rifta say there's no nafkamina. Of course there's a big nafkamina. Nafkamina, who wins? No, what they mean is as follows. What they mean is that there's whoever makes the last statement always wins. Meaning to say that he can always say, I was buying back my own what? I was buying back my own property. That's what it means, no nafkamina l'dinin. You can always say that's for either for the machzik or the ma'ara. Of course there's going to be a nafkamina who wins, depending on who brings the Adam. But you can always say that I was just trying to buy back rightly what was mine. So according to the Rashbam, the Ma'arer is the one who says I was buying back what was rightly mine, right? And according to the Rosh, he was saying, I wanted you to stop slandering me. You're following that type of excuse or statement. There's no nafkamina. It could be said, sai. Sai is Yiddish. Sai the machzik, or sai the what? Sai the ma'arer. It can be said either way. That's what the Ritva meant. And I want to prove this to you. Who do we hold like halacha l'maisa? The Rashba's pshat or the Rosh's pshat? What do you say? Who's pshat? Who do we hold like halacha l'maisa? We hold like both. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Kuf Mem Vov, Sif Tet Zayin, let's get it down. Sif Tet Zayin, Simen Kuf Mem Vov, Sif Tet Zayin, Sif Tet Zayin, the Machaber quotes exactly like the Rosh. The Rosh's case, where the Machzik is the one who says, oh, I have Eidim that you asked me to buy from. If you really had bought it, right? The Ma'arer, the Rosh says that the Ma'arer is saying, I have Eidim that you asked to buy it from me. If you really had bought it from Mr. X, why are you asking to buy it from me? That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Sif Tet Zayin is like the Rosh. And Sif Yud Ches, in Simen Kuf Mem Vav, Simen Kuf Mem Vav, and Sif Yud Ches, guess who we pass? The Machaber Paskas like who? The Rashbam's Pshat. So both Pshatim are quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Halach L'maisa. Okay? Might be a machlokes what the Pshat in the Gemara is, but both Pshatim are quoted Halach L'maisa. Both Pshatim are quoted Halach L'maisa. Okay? So both ways to learn the Gemara are quoted, the Dinis. So if you learn like the Rosh, then who wins? The Machzik wins. I'll write down Machzik. If you learn like who? If you learn like Rashbam, the Ma'arer wins. But they're both quoted Halach L'maisa, and when the Ritva and the Tepulich Ritva said, Ein Nafkamina L'dina, they didn't mean there's no Naf. Of course there's Nafkamina who wins. It just means that you can say this type of excuse both vis-a-vis the Ma'arer and vis-a-vis the Machzik. Okay. Very good. That's the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush you want to say here regarding what? Regarding this din. Okay. Let's go to Halachit. All right. Let's go to Halachit. And tomorrow we have to go Vayter. Before we go Vayter, though, we'll have to answer that Kasha. We'll have just to finish up the Rabbi Kivager that he writes, Karov Lemus. Okay? All right. Yes, also, real quick. Well, the last line in the, we didn't leave the last five words of the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Uperish Abena Chanano. Did you see the last? Last five, we did the whole Rashbam yesterday. You read it, but we last the five words. Perish Rabbeinu Chananel and Machzik Eidim L'Chol Shiva Shonim. So why don't you get that down? Rashbam brings a riot that Rabbeinu Chananel also holds that there are Eidim in all 7 years against the Yesh Beforshim. It's not just the Rashbam, it's the Yesh Beforshim. And also in the Agos V'Tziyunim, he points out also that sometimes Gam Po'omim She'azakai Mischayev B'din. Now whose pshat was that according to? The Rashbam? Whose pshat was that according to? You see the Agos V'Tziyunim Os Yud? Who was that according to? Whose pshat was that according to?
The Rosh says that also.
Gam b'pomim zakai b'din. Okay, he doesn't want people to speak Lashon Hara. Also, the wrong guy might win. Like Yossi pointing out, the wrong guy might win. But both pshatim I want to bring out are quoted Halacha L'maaseh and Shulchan Aruch. Okay. All right, so we have to finish Rabbi Kivager tomorrow, and then we have to go fight in the Gemara. Okay, let's begin now Hilchos Tefillin. There is a halacha that we have to wear tefillin every day, without a doubt. Shabbos and Yom Tov not, because Shabbos and Yom Tov is an os. It's an os between Hashem and the Jewish people. We don't need to wear tefillin to have an extra os. Chol HaMoed is a big machlokes. Ramah says, you wear on Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed you may niach. And the Mechaber and the Gaon argue. And they say, no, lo menichin. The truth is, most Rishonim hold like the Ramah. Where's the Raya of Rashi and Shas that he says you hold your word fill on a Chol HaMoed? The Gemara says, if you have a bunch of mitzvahs in front of you, the Gemara in Sukkah and Menval Manal says, do you say a bracha on every mitzvah? Or do you say one generic bracha, bracha ta Hashem el kenem ha-chom shekishan and sa'an akol ha-mitzvahs? Which one? Rabbi Yudah says you say a bracha on every distinct mitzvah. And what is Rashi's example? Tefillin, lulav, tzitzis. How could that be tefillin, lulav, tzitzis? Obviously, you're wearing tefillin and chol HaMoed. Rashi says that in Sukkah, Mem Vav Manal, that the nezer holds. That's why if you have a person who's a Baal Tshuva, who's an Ashkenaz, he has no minhagim, he should hold like the Ramah, he should put on tefillin and chol HaMoed. Now the Machaber Nagon were very much against it. There was a Zohar that was found. It's a very strong Zohar. It says Yechai Misin Shamayim if you were Tefillin Kol Amoy. Fine, the Ramah held not that way. The Ramah held not that way. Rov Rishonim held like the Ramah. So there's a different, you have to respect every Shita. But the truth of the matter is that Minig Ashkenaz is based on the Ramah. Minig Ashkenaz is based on the Ramah. Now we don't say a bracha on the Tefillin Kol Amoy because we're Choshish, the Chumru. Something brachas lahakel, but you shouldn't talk between the tefillin shiat, tefillin shirosh. You're not saying a bracha. Still, though, Mr. Brew gives two reasons. You'll get in the habit of talking during the year, and number two is other people might not know the halacha, and they will talk as well. So you don't talk in between. You're not even supposed to motion, says the Mr. Brew. Halacha l'maish. You're not allowed to motion to anyone. You're not allowed to motion to anyone because lest you might come to speak. The Gemara writes, if you have an Aveira that you speak between your Tefillin Shiat, Tefillin Shirosh in your pocket, you should not go out to war, that Hashem will not protect you. So it's a very serious Aveira, the Gemara says. So that's a very big machloikis l'maisa between the Mechaber and the Gaon against the Ramah on Chol HaMoed. But every day of the year, we have to always put on Tefillin, unless someone's terribly ill, you never, ever should go have a day without putting on tefillin. And tefillin is a biyom, from Nates until Shkia. The Gemara says that Rishoyim, most Rishoyim, stay in Gehenim 12 months and come out after 12 months. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah writes, on Daf Yud Zayinim and Aleph, our Karkafta de Gavra, the Lo Manach Bo Tefillin, stays in Gehenim. A skull of a person that doesn't put tefillin on, stays in Gehenna, even more than the year. So you see from the Gemara, it's a very terrible thing. The Gemara writes, someone who doesn't put on tefillin is called a posheya begufan. Okay? So even if you could just put tefillin on just for Kriya Shema, you should always try to do that. But to have a day go by with tefillin, someone's terribly ill, okay? Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, okay? The Gemara says you're poshe begufa. Now, Lubavitch Chassidim learn it means shot in the Gemara, and there's some Rishonim that say like this. The Ritva, I think, means if you didn't put on your tefillin your whole life, that's why in the airports they try to get many Yidim to put on tefillin to get out of this category. But other Rishonim argument says it means every day of one's life. Okay, so that's a very important halacha that we must carry with us and know very clear and teach our chaverim about it. Okay. Now, there's a requirement to have a goof naki when we put on tefillin. What does that mean? That means that a person obviously cannot go to the restroom while he has tefillin on. Okay, at least gedolim for sure. Okay, at least gedolim. And we paskin also for ketanim. Unless someone wears tefillin all day. Okay, unless someone wears tefillin all day, but lamaisa we paskin that gedolim and ketanim. Number one, number two, you're not allowed to go with tefillin. Not only that, you're not allowed to bring them into a bathroom. Therefore, if you have to go to the bathroom during davening, you take your tefillin off and you put them back on, and you're in a place in davening where you can be mafsik, you have to say a new bracha because tefillin is called tashmishe kedusha, unlike tzitzis. Tzitzis is called tashmishe mitzvah. Tefillin is called Tashmish Kedusha, which means when they're puzzled, you have to bury them Mikra Din. The definition of Tashmish Mitzvah, Tashmish Kedusha, is Shem Hashem is written on it. By Sefer Torah, Tefillin Mezuzah, Shem Hashem is written on it, and when they can no longer be used, they have to be buried Mikra Din. Tzitzis, when it can't use it anymore, you can really throw it out. It's not Bekovedik. We don't do that. We should bury it as well, but Mikra Din, you could throw it out, because it's Tashmish Mitzvah. It's not Bekovedik, so we don't do it. The definition of Tashmish Kedusha has Shem Hashem written on it. Therefore, you can't bring Tashmish Kedusha into the bathroom. Therefore, the halacha is that it's a hefsik, and therefore you have to say a new bracha. So we paskin not allowed to go to the bathroom with them, or not allowed to bring them in the bathroom. Therefore, it's a hefsik. Whereas a talis, mikra din, you could bring into the bathroom because it doesn't have Shem Hashem written on it. Someone asked me, I have to get back to them about it. They have sometimes on, who asked me that? Forgot, someone asked me sometimes they have on the collar, the talis, Shem Hashem written on it. Michael, did you ask? Someone asked me that. I have to get back to you about that. But Mikra Din, you do not say a bracha when you put your talis back on because it's not constituted as a hefsek. Okay. Moreover, not only you're not allowed to go to the bathroom with your tefillin on, you have to remove your tefillin, you're not allowed to flatulate with them. Okay? That is the din of neficha. You're not allowed to flatulate, you're not allowed to let gas when you are let gas out when you're wearing your tefillin. It's a very important halacha. We have to teach bar mitzvah boys this and all the older fellows. That's why it's very important you try to go to the bathroom before you're davening to make sure you don't do that. And if you feel like you have to remove the tefillin. You have to remove the tefillin. That's why it's very important to get up earlier before davening. Don't get up the minute before davening. You prepare yourself. You go to the bathroom. You're prepared because it's tashmishi kedusha. And it's a terrible thing if you are flatulate with one's tefillin on. It's beferish and shulchan aruch. Moreover, this usage of gufnaki is one of the reasons why women don't put on tefillin. Women don't put on tefillin because Rabbi Yonasan ben Uzziel said it's called tashmishe clay gever. They can't wear tzitzis and tefillin because why? It's clay gever. Clay gever they're not allowed to put on. But also the Ramah adds that women menstruate and therefore because of that gufnaki, and therefore he says women do not put on tefillin. This is what the Ramah writes. Okay? This leads us to the following regarding the brachas. There is a big machloek between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam regarding the brachas of tefillin. Okay? What do I mean to say? Let's get the cheshbon. According to Rashi, you really should only say one bracha. What's the one bracha? Lahaniach. If God forbid you talk between the Yad and Rosh, then you must say Al Mitzis on the head. But Mikra Adin, I'm just going to write down Rashi holds bracha achas. Only if you talk do you have to add another bracha. Rabbeinu Tam argues and says what? You say on the Yad, Lahaniach. You say on the Rosh, Al Mitzis. What happens if you talk in the middle? You have to repeat Al Lahaniach on the Yad, and he also will sell mitzvahs. So I want you to get that. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Shnei Brachas, but if you talk, you got to end up saying what? Three in total. Has everyone got that clear? According to Rashi, it's one without talking. If you talk, you will do two.
Motion.
What'd you say?
Motion.
No, you're not allowed to motion. No, you won't say a new bracha according to Rashi. You're not allowed to motion. We're talking about talking. How do we paskin? So we paskin Mikra Adin like Rabbeinu Tam. But we are choshish for Rashi. How are we choshish for Rashi? We say Bruch Shem, Kevod, Machusol, Elom Ved, right after you say Alam Mitzvahs. Because you hold like Rashi, you just said a Bruch Levatol. So Mikra Adin, we hold like Rabbeinu Tam, but we're choshish L'chumra for Shittas Rashi. Okay? Now, but the most proper time to say the Bracha is right before you pull it. You don't do it when you're putting it on. That's too early. That's called over to over. You do it right before you pull it. Over to over. Okay? And when do you put the brach on? I've seen this. A lot of guys make this mistake. When do you say the brach on the tefillin shel Rosh? Not before you put it on your head. That would be talking between the two brachas. You put it on your head, and then you say alamitzis before you straighten it. Before you straighten it. Because it's before it's been straightened, you had to fulfill the mitzvah. And for that matter, where is the proper place you wear your tefillin shel Rosh? You don't wear it on your forehead. If it's your forehead, you have to get it fixed. You have to wear it on the top of your hairline, right here. The top of your hairline. Here is wrong. Totally wrong. A lot of guys don't know that. You have to have it, the kesha refixed. So you have to wear it on the top of your hairline. So you put it on. You're not going to put it on perfectly. You say the bracha, and then you make sure it's perfect. Okay? And you can do that with your fingers to make sure. It's very important. Otherwise, you're not yaitze the mitzvah of tefillin, unless it's on the top of your line, right in between one's eyes. Okay? But not on the forehead. That's a big mistake. You're not yaitze tefillin shel Rosh in such a case. So we have to make sure that we are makbid about this and don't make that mistake. Yes, Evan?
If you were two tefillin, then you need to make another bracha on the second one, like because like when you take off.
No, Mikra, then we don't. We're going to get to that now. Okay, we'll get to that now.
Also, how does that work being so mech on a Baruch Shem, at least according to Rashi? Being so mech on saying that.
We're holding like Rabbeinu Tam, but on the possibility that we're Rashi's right, we just said a bracha l'otava. So Mikra, then we hold like Rabbeinu Tam, we're choshes l'churma for Rashi.
Being so mech on a Baruch Shem, we're making the bracha and then being so mech on the.
No, again, we're holding like Rabbeinu Tam, you say the bracha. On the possibility that Rashi's right, we say Baruch Shem for Mochzul Lomboy. Okay.
Right
after you say the bracha, you fasten it that it's straight, then you say Baruch Shem. Right. then you say Moshe, but you got to say it within Tochel Edibur, right? Okay, let me just get to the following. Evan brought up, there are two types of tefillin. Big machlokes in Rishonim. Rashi's and Rashi's tefillin and Rabbeinu Tam. It depends about how you put the parshas in your tefillin shiyah, tefillin shirosh, what the order is. So we paskin mikra din kamo Rashi, and it says in the Shulchan Aruch that if you're a muchsuk bechasidis, it's well known that you're a righteous fellow, very pious, then you put on tefillin Rabbeinu Tam in addition. And you would not say a new bracha, Evan. You would not say a new bracha. You put it on after davening, which many chassidim do, and you say Kriya Shema. That's only some of the Musab chassidis we hold like Rashi. Now this brings us to the following matter, and that is, which arm do you determine you say you put your tefillin on? It's a very big shaila. I had this shaila for many years. Okay? This is a big machlokes between the Ramah and the Vilna Gaon. The Mechaber and the Ramah on one hand against the Vilna Gaon and the Bach. So I want you to get it down. The Mechaber, the Ramah, the Magen Avraham, they all hold. Okay? They all hold. Mechaber, the Ramah, the what? The Magen Avraham. Even though it's not really Rov Rishonim, but somehow the Mechaber Ramah, Yad Kosei. So I write left-handed. So since I write left-handed, I put my tefillin on my right arm. That's the way I was taught in Bar Mitzvah in Peoria, Illinois, that whatever you write, that's the Ramah, Mechaber, Magen Avraham. However, Moshe Shonim argue and say not that way. Yeah, I write left hand, I put my tefillin on my right arm, right? That's what we said. Mechaber, Ramah, Magen Avraham. However, the Vilna Gaon and basically Rov Rishonim argue and say, Yad Chazak. What do I mean by Yad Chazak? That's the determining factor. Now, which is stronger? My right arm or my left arm? So when I want to bang a what? A nail. Which hand do I use for my hammer? My right hand. Definitely. I think in arm wrestling, I think my right is stronger. How do I shoot a basketball? Right. How do I bat? Right. How do I throw? Right-handed. So therefore, based on that, I should put my tefillin on my what? On my left hand. I wrote Yad Chazak to be the determining factor. The Lashon of Gemara is Yad Keha. You put it on the weak hand. I'll write it in brackets. So what do? It's a big machloikis in Tanoim. Big machloikis. So for many, many years, I followed the Ramah. But I was feeling bad. You know, maybe should hold like the Gaon. So I called Rav Zalman Nechemia Shlita, and he told me, I wanted to ask him, 2 years ago I took upon a chumrah, I got a new pair of tefillin a few years ago, I had my old pair, so I had my old pair converted to a left arm tefillin. So I stick to what I always do, always did before, like the Ramah. For the davening, I put on the tefillin on my right arm, because I write lefty, but to be choshish l'chumrah for the gaon, after davening, I put on the other pair of tefillin, which is adjusted for the left arm, and I say Kriya Shema with that. So I put on two tefillin Sharashi, not putting on tefillin Sharabina Tam. That's what the books of the Hasidis. But that's the Mimachba. I'll tell you why that's easier, better. Because a lot of guys, you know how you can invert the box? You know, if you put tefillin on your right arm, you can invert the box that it'll fit on your left arm. Some poskim say that that's not. That's not l'chachilu to do that. So that's why I have a separate pair of tefillin that's, you know, fit for the left arm. But this is a very big machlokes. A lot of guys have this shiloh. A lot of guys. If a guy's totally ambidextrous, then what do we assume? He's a righty. He's totally ambidextrous. Let's say he writes both hands or strength is equal. Then we assume that what? He's a righty. He'll put his tefillin on his left arm. Okay? So it's a very big machlokes. It's totally in the Gemara. Whether it's Yad HaKosev or Yad Chazak, it's totally on the Yishonim. But it's very interesting. Actually, last Thanksgiving, we went through in shul with the guys in the shul, and it's interesting. Rov Rishonim go like the Gaon, but the Mechaber and the Magen Avraham say the writing is the element, and the Gaon argues. So that's an interesting shiloh. Whichever you do, whichever you're taught as a bar mitzvah, but we wouldn't impose a chumrah upon a bar mitzvah boy. That's too much. Person's older already, you could take that chumrah upon yourself. That's determining how what how, which arm you're going to put your tefillin on. Michael, you had a kasha. Go ahead. No, no. If you hold like Rabbi Natan, which is the way we paskin, is you would say two brachas now on the Rosh. You would say Lahaniach and Al Mitzvahs. Okay? All right, very good. Let's just close with the following. A few more halachas in tefillin. Okay? And then we'll stop. There is interesting halacha that on the tefillin, your ritzua should be black. And that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So many times, there's a pen that you could blacken your box or your ritzuos, okay? And you should, they should have, be as black as possible, at least the outsides. All shalom, whether the under has to be black as well, but the outside should be black, because it might be halach l'moshe m'sinai, it is. And therefore we have to make sure that what? That it is considered to be what? All black, and is the things are not chipped off. And there are two things that are I want to mention that are al-chachila. It is best that the kesher on your tefillin shoyad should touch the bias. Kesher is liyad habayis. Do you know what I'm talking about? The kesher should actually be touching the bias. That's al-chachila. If you don't have it, certainly you're yotzeh. No one should tell you you're not yotzeh. You definitely are yotzeh, without a doubt. The kesher should be liyad bias. Okay, that's the most ideal thing. Without a doubt. And also, what we should mention is that lechatchila, it's better that your tefillin is called gassos. You know what gassos are? Gassos are made from leather of behemoth gassos, not dakos. Because then it has a chazaka, really, that they're always kosher. Now, there is an inyan to what? To check them. But mezuzahs, you have to check every 3.5 years. Twice every 7 years, the Gemara says. It says Shulchan Aruch, you have to check the mezuzahs of your home or your apartment twice every 7 years, right? The Aruch HaShulchan says 7 divided by 2 is 3.5 years. So every 3.5 years you have to check your mezuzahs. But tefillin mikra, they do not have to be checked if they're gassos. So it's really ideal you get gassos. If you have from behemoth dakis, it's not as strong the cloth, and therefore where chayshus, then maybe it might be pulsus. So you got to get them checked mikra din. So it's always, even gassos you get them checked every so often if you need to. But mikra din, there's a chazaka that they're considered to be kosher, without a doubt. Okay. Last halacha for now is that we have to be very careful when we have tefillin on. You shouldn't schmooze. You really shouldn't schmooze. And there's a notion to have concentration when you have your tefillin and to make sure you're not mesiach das. It's called hesach das. So if you want to schmooze with a friend after davening, you really should remove your tefillin. You should not schmooze with the tefillin on. You should either be learning or davening with tefillin on. It's a very important thing. We have to make sure about that you really shouldn't be mechal the tefillin and schmooze. Certainly speak Lashon Hara, things like that, shouldn't ever speak Lashon Hara, but you shouldn't be schmoozing about things. You got to speak with a friend, Rebbe of Davening. You should take off your tefillin, shal yad, tefillin, shal rosh, before you talk, because you don't want to be in a situation where this hesach hadas. And the last halacha is, let's say, God forbid, someone is a very poor man, and he only has enough money for tefillin or a mezuzah. What do you do? Which one takes precedence? Tefillin, because it's a mitzvah shebaguf. It's a mitzvah shebaguf. He only has enough money for one. The mezuzah beats out the tefillin. Sorry, the tefillin beats out the mezuzah. The mitzvah shebaguf says in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, that's a very important halacha. We have to make sure that what, that the tefillin is a very important thing. We have to make sure that we should best when we know how you say erastikli li'olam when you do the tefillin shalyah. Many people have a minig when they put on the ritzuos. You say potech es yadechem aspila v'ocharatzon. You count the 7. So we should be makbid about that, to make sure we fulfill the tefillin. And I want to stress this as well. We got to close with this. Is that you should keep the tefillin on if you can, B'ez Hashem, and you're healthy, you're feeling good. You should keep the tefillin on throughout all of davening. At least for what we call the Dalet Kaddishin. See sometimes that guys take them off right after Shmon Esrei for no reason at all. What's the point of that? Dalet Kaddishin. That means at least for the Kaddish after Aleinu, if there's an oval, you should have your tefillin on for that. Okay? At least for that. At least for after Ravalatzion and the Aleinu and the Kaddish at the end, you should have your tefillin on for that, says in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? So we shouldn't think we could take them off right after Chazar Shashatz, Lamaisa, and as said, if you're going to learn with them right after that, that's fine. But make sure you're learning and not schmoozing. Okay, everyone have a good day. Stop it. We'll go fight to tomorrow. This is who did this. Seth, you bring this? You found, you know.